I remember in high school, skinny jeans was gay.
We laughing now, but growing up in Brooklyn in the 90s,
skinny jeans was gay.
You never told me I would ever wear a pair of jeans that was skinny to the ankle, bro.
Even the shorts above the knee.
That wasn't happening now.
The Hoochie Daddy shorts? The Hoochie.
I'm like, our influence is like, you know what I'm saying, crazy.
All right, last time we showed love to the real ones, our black fathers. However, this time around, the theme for this episode is fight back, King. Mm-hmm. We standing on business, we swinging back on all the negativity. You know, I'm sitting here with people who really need no introduction. You know, first up is BET VH1 Royalty. He's a singer, actor, man of many talents, and not forgetting, Grammy nominated. The one and only Mr. Wack Wilds.
What's going on, y'all?
Appreciate you being here, black man.
Thank you for having me.
Next up, we got BET Royalty, you know what I'm saying? On the number one show, the number one show on the network. Sister, shout out to Tyler Perry. And he also has his lead show, Tatima, on BET Plus. You're getting that money, black man.
I love it.
Last but not least, man, I call him Mr. Stand On Business because he got them Stand On Business shoes right now. I pray for the soul he ever got to stomp out. You know what I'm saying? Hey, the one and only Mr. Saucy Santana, bro. Appreciate you being here, fam.
What's up? Thank you. Thank y'all for having me.
All right then, man. So we're going to get into all of it, man. We're going to talk family, love, mental health. But first, man, I want you guys to describe the chapter of your life right now. Deval, I want to start with you because you're juggling a lot and now you're coming out of the strike. So I'm interested in you to describe your chapter in your life right now.
This chapter of my life, I like to call retrospection. Mm. When you have children, I have four sons. Shout out Jackson, Cairo, Kaz, Dakota, and my baby, of course, Kadeem. When you have children, those are like the most shiniest mirrors you'll ever have in your life. Because when you look at your kids, the things you like and don't like about your kids, they get from you. So when you have, you know what I'm saying? When you have four sons and you're like, why you act like that? Then it's like,
oh, that's why.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, that's why. It allows me to look at them and be like, you know what? If I can curate an experience where you change the things you don't like about yourself, I can do the same thing for me. Mm. So no matter how old you are, just continue to change. So I'm about evolution and just looking inward. That's the chapter of my life.
So I said, I'm going to come back to you when it comes back to defining this chapter in your life. I feel like it's probably great. You're thriving. You're blinging, brother. You're blinding me right now. So I want you to kind of describe what this chapter in your life is right now.
I feel like this is my, you know, standing on business chapter. Like, you know, we going back to basics. We going, you know, I feel like sometimes you gotta sit back and you just gotta go back to what started it. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how you just even, I feel like you gotta, I know in life we wanna always elevate and move forward, but I just think right now I'm just in a position where I'm back at a drawing board, like, what made it happen? Mm-hmm. And what built my fan base and what built my people and what got me so many opportunities, you know what I'm saying? To, you know, even, you know, getting here. So, and, you know, in the same token, you know, I feel like I'm opening up more because I've been doing a lot of more TV stuff this year. Right now, I'm just opening up to that and just exploring my options. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just turned 30. I would never tell anybody that.
You were younger for real.
Welcome to the third floor.
Yeah. 30 so serious, like... Get your credit right, open businesses and stocks and bonds.
Yeah. I'm turning 40. So you young in the game. Okay. Like, you young in the game, and if you here at 30, you gonna be.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
You're doing something right, man.
Yeah, 30 is still very, very young, bro.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, I say everybody say 30 so young. I'm like, man, my dirty 30s. Dang, Tanner.
Nah, man, I love you coming into like this chapter where it's like everything's falling together in your 30s. I feel like your 30s is always that time where everything starts to clip.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I said. 30s is like, that's when you got to sit down like.
Yeah, you can't make the same mistakes in your 30s.
What are we doing? Yeah.
Nah, I love that, man. Mac, man, describe kind of the chapter in your life right now.
Oof. I think if I had to call this chapter anything, I would call it balance. Mm. I think, especially this year, I think, you know, between the strike, of course, my daughter being born, I think I've been watching a lot of kind of the balance of things. You know, you got to take the good with the bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Earlier this year, beginning of the year, I lost my great grandfather. And then maybe like 2 months after, I lost my aunt. And it was just, it was a big blow to the family, but there was so much good happening at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, we were promoting Swagger, we were promoting Praise This, we were moving around, doing all of the things that we were doing. And to kind of live with that, and then on top of that, having a brand new life in the house. My daughter, you know, who's super vibrant, jokes all day. You know, she may be looking at you with a mean mug and a fist up, and she just jokes. Like, she's probably the most New York out of all of us. I'm not gonna lie to you. But it's just the balance, understanding the balance, and being able to kind of like just be able to learn through all the bad, and to take a second, enjoy and celebrate through the good.
Yeah,
nah, man.
Life.
I love that, man. I love that, and it's like balance, and like, you know. To kind of touch on what you said, man, I think for me, same thing what you said, I know the year prior to this one, man, it's probably like my hardest year in life. Just, you know, my mom got sick, had a stroke, was in a coma for 2 weeks. I was coming out of a failed relationship, failed family unit, right? Tried to have a family unit, it didn't work out. So dealing with that while trying to take care of my mom, work was struggling, falling through the wayside. It was a tough year for me. So I think, you know, I had to fight back. I had to swing back, stand on business, and like come back from that. Now my mom is in great health.
No, you said failed. Why failed? Why you say failed?
So, you know, and it's funny, I was talking to my friends about that, and it's like, I think as a man, you feel like, so for me, everything in life has always kind of come easy, right? I'm sitting here with you guys. Like, if you put in the work, you get the fruits of your labor.
Absolutely.
And the first time where that didn't happen for me was trying to have a relationship, you know, and have a family unit. And as a man, I kind of feel like that's like a failure.
You feel like it's a failure.
But it's how you feel. But like, you know, my friends and my family kind of told me.
You feel like it's a failure.
You feel like it's
a
failure.
Is it really a failure?
Is it really? And I think when I kind of bounced back and I started to swing back, it's like I realized, like, yo, just because something may not be for you in this time in life doesn't mean it's a failure.
It's thing that you can learn from this.
You know what I'm saying? So once I kind of looked at it differently, you know. Yeah, no, that's real. But as a man, I feel like we all kind of like it's a failure. That's like, it's like you gotta have a lot of money, you gotta provide for your family, you gotta be this, you gotta be that.
Yeah.
And it's like I had all that, right? So it's like you telling me I can do all these cool things, I can sit here with you guys, I can make this good money, I can buy a house, but I couldn't make my family union work. That was a hard time, that was a hard pill to swallow for me as a man.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So it took a lot to kind of bounce back from that. While kind of dealing with my mom and just other trials and tribulations in life. You know, I'm 32, so I'm a young father, my son is 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I think trying to balance all that and, you know, just trying to still navigate through life, because life be life.
Life be life.
So you had your son at 26.
Yeah.
I had mine at 27,
young
father too. The first 5 years of my marriage was hell. Like, it was hell.
Really?
And yeah, it was hell. And it wasn't for any other reason. People automatically assume, oh, it must have been infidelity, it must have been physical.
Nah.
No, it wasn't. It was hell because I didn't know exactly how to be a husband and a father.
Mm.
So
you gotta understand that it's two different things.
Yes, yes.
That's real.
Yes, and
real.
And for so long before that, I was just a boyfriend and a fiance. So then we got married, and right after that, like, we got married, pregnant, baby comes. Now I have to be two things, one of which I've never been before. I've never, ever been a father. So I say that to say, for you to, at 26, to try to build that family unit and it not work the way you expected it to work isn't necessarily a failure.
Mm.
It's
just
a lesson. See, this
just
is a parent.
It's
dad. There's no failure until you quit. You haven't quit being a father. You said you and your child's mother still co-parenting and learning, so it's not a failure. There's a chance y'all could still co-parent and raise an amazing young child,
yeah.
In which case, it's not a failure. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why when you said failure, it kind of made me be like, is it really? But
no,
I don't think
real.
It's a failure, bro.
No, I appreciate you saying that, and that's real, man. I think for me, I came to the realization, it's like, okay, just because it's not working the way I thought. I think a lot of times when we had this idea in our head and it doesn't work out exactly the way we wanted to, it's like we feel like it's a failing. It's like it's not. It's like everything comes in due time. God always has something bigger and better
for
you, something planned. So, I love that, man. Like
I'm somebody who lives by quotes, and one of my favorite quotes, you can ask my wife, is expectation is the killer of experience.
Yes, it is.
So
yes,
all the times that you have this expectation for something, the way that something should go, oh, it should go like this. As soon as it doesn't go that way, you're going to get hurt.
Done.
Yeah. So
done.
Expectation is always the killer of experience. It pulls you out of
the moment,
going through the moment and
and
learn taking from it what you should.
That's something I didn't know, bro. Like, just from the outside looking in, bro, it's always seemed like everything was just perfect for you guys.
No, nothing has never been perfect. And part of that is part of our story, because we still get bashed. We get bashed by some people and be like, oh, that's the couple that be embarrassing each other.
Mm.
Because we are honest about what we've been through. I'm honest about, and I never say mistakes. I'm honest about the poor choices I've made in my 20s. My wife is honest about her poor choices, not necessarily because we want to be this ideal couple that people look up to. It's only because of what Max said earlier. I'm a creative, right? When you're creative, you create based on whatever your muse is.
Yep.
My muse is my life and my family.
Exactly.
So creating, for, like if I was a rapper, you know what I would rap about?
My life and my family.
If I painted, I'd paint my life and my family. So me talking about my life and my family in a comedic way was just a way for me to be creative.
Yeah.
And that side was being honest, laughing and joking with my kids, laughing with my wife, smacking her on the butt, loving her, kissing her, because that's what I do anyway. And then, you know, sometimes people think, oh, they just doing this for clout. Oh, they ragging on each other for clout. And I'm like, nah, this is my muse. I'm an artist. I love to talk about my family. So no, everything's not always picture perfect, and it's not going to be from now until we're done with this thing. Things are going to happen, and I'm never going to hide and shy away from that, because me telling my story and my testimony can help somebody else. Because then someone else don't feel alone. Wait a minute, the Ellis's ain't perfect. Oh, they went through financial issues when he got out the NFL. Yeah. Oh, they had marital issues that first 5 years. Okay, so it's okay to stick it out and not quit, because we worked through it. And that's really just, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I always say it's so easy just being authentic. Like, that was 1, 2, 3 for you to just stop and do your social income. Like, I just stay home anyways.
Yep.
Vibing with my kids, vibing with my wife.
Yep.
Like, do my family thing. And you'll be surprised at what other people fit that narrative.
Yep.
And that's what I had to learn about myself. Like, I'm just like, just be you. You'll be surprised. Like, so many different people resonate with me. Just even me.
Just different walks of life. Yeah. Everybody's like, nah, like, that's real.
Just be surprised. So I just even appreciate this moment, like, sitting here with, you know what I'm saying, 3 other black straight men. Y'all got wives and families and, you know what I'm saying, I'm a gay boy, but it's like, we still, you know what I'm saying, can resonate. We still got everything in common. So I'm just like, being yourself, you just be surprised that the rooms you be in are just the people that you relate with and connect with just off of being you.
You one of the fellas, bro. Like, this is for the fellas, bro. You one of the guys. I want to make that clear, bro. Like, we family together, bro. Like, don't ever feel like you the odd person. I'm like, nah, bro, we all in here together. So I want to re-in there and look you in the eye and tell you that, bro. Like, you one of the guys, you one of the fellas, we here with you. So I appreciate you being here.
I think this is important. I'm going to share a story. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this story, but I do want to share this story, because I found out later on in life that one of my best friends I grew up with was gay. He was gay the whole time, right? Whole time, he was hiding it from us. I said, bro, why did you hide it from us? Why didn't you just tell us? Like, we don't care, bro. He was just like, think about how we grew up in the 90s. And he was like, think about the stuff we all said and with the names we called people. And I was like, damn, like, I never really thought about it. He was like, how could I feel safe telling you? And he said, I engaged in it too, because that's what the culture was, right?
Yeah.
So then now I have 4 sons. My oldest comes in one day for Halloween. He's like, yo, you know, we about to go trick-or-treating, but we're not going over to that house. And I'm like, why are we not going to that house? I have neighbors, and my neighbor's a gay couple. And I was like, why are you not going over there? And he was just like, nah, me and my friends, like, we don't rock with that. So I said, you don't rock with what? Like what don't you rock with? And he was like, you know, Dad. So I said, I know. I said, and this is the part of the story that I want to tell, because I have friends.
Yeah.
And I said, do you know Jax, that so-and-so is gay? He goes, I said, yeah. Do you know so-and-so is gay too? He literally, the minute he realized that they are humans like him, he goes, oh, if that's the case, then what's the big deal? Yeah. I said, that was the point. The point is, you didn't even know what you were against. You were just afraid because you didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And the minute you understand that they're humans and you've been around them the same way your dad is, and you watch me play pool and they come over, the minute I humanized that experience for him,
everything changed.
Yeah.
You seen it in his face.
I told my boy, I said, I'm just letting you know I told Jackson that you're gay and stuff like that. And he was like, man, he was nervous because he was like, I don't know how Jackson going to respond.
Yeah, because they kids.
So now they come downstairs. Oh, what's up? Give him a hug and everything like that. And he started crying. So I was just like, bro, why are you crying? He was just like, because growing up the way we grew up, when people find out, they act different.
Yeah.
Mm. He was like, you changed a generation in your family just by, and this was his words. He said, you didn't advocate. You didn't make a proclamation. All you said was, you know that that person is gay, and they saw the human in me and made it okay. And I was like, you know what? I didn't realize I was doing that. I was just, I'll be honest, I was kind of like, you can't be a bigot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when you, maturity is understanding too, like the way you grew up, everything ain't okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's so, and you grew up in New York too.
I'm about to say, growing up the
dropping
way
the
we F-bomb, grew up.
Being homophobic was a way of life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was just normal. But you can't just take that if you know you got to do better and just keep doing the same thing.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
That's powerful because a lot of people choose to be ignorant. Even for you to just, you know, be like, he human, like, what's the problem?
Yeah, what's
like,
the problem?
You know what I'm saying? Just taking your child mind to, you know, so-and-so. They're like, oh. Well, that's just because, you know what I'm saying, already, he probably broke down because just as us being Black and gay, we already, it's, you know, it's stigmas of how we gonna act, what we gonna do, what we gonna say. Like, oh, if I don't wanna be around him, he might try to talk to me or he didn't, might say some crazy
stuff. And that's what I want parents to understand. Every conversation doesn't have to be you picking a side.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this, it's understanding the humanness in everybody.
Yeah, or even that,
it's just the humanness in everybody. And also, it's okay if we all don't agree on everything.
Facts.
Your lifestyle is your choice. My lifestyle is my choice. Everything, like, I think it's called divine dichotomy. The divine dichotomy is the fact that two things can be opposite, but still both
equally exist,
right? In this world, everything is duality. If you Republican and I'm Democrat, we gotta hate each other.
Yeah.
You white and I'm Black, we hate each other. You gay and I'm straight. No, you don't have to have that duality where you have to fight. We can sit down and just be like, your lifestyle is like that, mine is like this. Okay.
Cool.
And I think that was much needed for the community, man. And so also, like, I really want to look at you, man, just give you your flowers real quick, man, because you recently stood on business and you fought back, not only for yourself, but for your sister, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, everybody always screams, like, protect Black women, right? But you stood on business.
But when the time comes.
Yeah. And listen, you really did that, man. We're not going to acknowledge the ignorance, but what I do want you to kind of reflect on is just like, you know, speak to that moment, and you got a lot of support.
Yeah.
A lot of support from just, you know, millions of people online.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now coming out of that on the other side?
It kind of took me back to growing up. I think that a lot of people get being gay and feminine confused as
soft
or he want to be a girl. He think he a girl. He wear nails. He wear makeup. He wear purses. He think he a girl. And growing up, I grew up, of course, around a lot of girls. I had a lot of female influence growing up, you know what I'm saying? As a child, and I had two daddies, my biological daddy in prison, and I grew up with my other father, who is, he was a celebrity bodyguard growing up. So my daddy was hard, like tough. So I grew up like, I never fought no girls. I dealt with men, like, you know what I'm saying, growing up. And so I just remember
You grew up in Florida, right?
Yeah. Originally I'm from Bridgeport, Connecticut. But I moved from Connecticut when I was like 10. So I feel like Florida really like
raised you.
Yeah.
During the adolescent period.
And so it's like, I remember always hanging around a lot of girls, but I always knew that I was the fella in the situation. Like, you still the boy, you know what I'm saying? You still gotta, you know what I'm saying, stand up for them. You still
have
something, you know, I'm going on. I'm opening doors for y'all. Like, I'm still gonna treat y'all, you know, as women.
Yeah.
And so it just, for me, I'm just like, for me to just seeing a dude, like, that's corny to me. That's lame. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you bullying a girl. And I'm like, I don't know if that's insecurity or self-esteem issues, but we not having that.
Like,
especially not none of mine. Like, and I even remember growing up, you know what I'm saying, kind of being a gay boy, like, and just being catty, and, you know, gay boys just known for reading and having a slick mouth. I remember being combative and stuff with females, but just as far as, like, arguments, I never pressed the issue to, like, you know, want to put hands on a female. But even just me as growing up and becoming just a grown man, I don't even like to argue or even just go back and forth with, you know what I'm saying, females, you know, like that. So I ain't standing for that, and especially not nobody close in my camp.
We're not
doing that at all. You gonna respect the queens around here.
Speaking of queens, Queen Latifah reshared a tweet, and the tweet was saying, it's crazy a gay man going harder for the women than a straight man. So, like, you know, DJ Academics, you know, he says what he says about Chizzy Carisi. And you stood on business, bro. So, like, again, bro, I just want to give you flowers, bro.
Man, me and Carisi was on the phone. We was like, man, this thing got big. Queen Latifah.
We made it.
I'm like, man, this thing got big. We got teeth in it, like. But it just, you know what I'm saying? I love women. I gotta, you know, we get a lot of influence, you know, us being gay from women. I feel like we pull from each other because even like, I feel like a lot of women get influenced, you know what I'm saying, from, you know, the gays. All the girls got a gay best friend or, you know what I'm saying? So we just, you know, pull for each other. And I just feel like I'm supportive and I'm just happy that, you know, girls are feeling protected.
Can I ask a question though?
Mm-hmm.
A serious question to everybody. Mm-hmm. At what point does protecting black women become controlling? Because as a straight black man, I've often said things about protecting my wife. Mm. And people have said, oh, he's controlling, he's a narcissist.
Mm. Mm.
So it kind of kills me. Like, for example, I remember the quote I said, I curated a life for my wife to where she can walk around the world and feel comfortable that she don't have to answer to nobody because I got her.
Mm-hmm.
And the backlash was, oh, so you pay for everything so your wife only has to listen to you.
Mm.
And then at first, this was 4 years ago, I said, no, as a man, I want to protect. And then the backlash I got was, well, every woman doesn't need to be protected. Like women don't need to be protected. Like, that's misogynistic for you to feel like every woman needs to be protected. So my question is, where are we as a culture? Because Queen Latifah's quote makes sense, right? Here's a gay man standing up more for a woman. But then as a straight man, sometimes when I say things, I get backlash from women like, I don't need that from you. Or I don't need a man to do that for me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I do.
I think that that's this social media era.
I agree.
Like, people be saying stuff that they don't even agree with. What woman don't want to be protected? Like, seriously.
That's how I felt.
Especially by their partner, by their husband.
That's how I feel. Yeah.
Well, who don't want to feel safe? I feel like now people see like 100 comments and they just going with
one. Ignorance. There you go. Yeah, I feel you, like, on that. I feel you on that.
And then I feel like too, now how the kind of world is, like, you know, females like kind of want to feel strong.
Yeah, they want to be
understand because of pressure
and all that. But you know, when it get down to the nitty gritty, every woman, you know, want to feel safe and protected. I always have these conversations with my female friends. Like when girls be like, oh, I'm act like a boy. I'm finna move how, you know, these men. I'm like, you can't. And so as much as you try to, I laugh at them kind of like behind the scenes. I'm like, yeah, you thought you were standing on business. You over there. I say, you're a girl. You got that estrogen. You got no feminine waves. You can't do what we do, baby. Now you at home like, man, for real, it don't work like that. So I just think, I feel like that's just this new social media era.
I'm glad you said it, because I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Yeah.
But I feel the same thing. I feel like social media now is like the loud minority just goes out, and since they're the loudest, people think that that's the truth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just because the loudest person is saying it, or they're saying it the most, that doesn't make it the truth.
True.
That's why I wanted to, you know, ask that question, but I mean, it was answered.
No, I think very much to what you were saying, the social media definitely is one of the biggest pieces when it comes to that, because people will see what's in their bubble,
what's
popping, and then they'll be
when
like,
"Oh, coming 100 times, that's that."
Perfect. That's what I'm gonna say. I agree with that. When they it doesn't resonate with them in all actuality. And I think also just in today's day and age, every woman wants to be more independent, et cetera, et cetera. So I think a lot of times they think of protection as taking away their rights in a way.
Right.
When in all actuality, if we're talking about protection, it should happen on both sides, right? Not only as me, as your man, being like protecting you in a physical way, but protecting you emotionally, et cetera, et cetera. But
absolutely,
as my woman, I want you to protect me emotionally.
Absolutely.
Like, there's a lot of
absolutely
stuff as a man that, you know, I want to make sure that
absolutely
I can confide in you, I can talk to you, or like if there's another shorty trying to, I know if there's a situation, Christina on heels.
Yeah,
you know
she
what
ready,
I'm saying?
She ready.
So it's understanding the protecting of each other.
Yeah.
So pretty much what you're saying, protection doesn't create a power dynamic.
It shouldn't.
Where one is less than the other.
It shouldn't.
Yeah, it should.
And to be honest, that's ultimately what this whole conversation, this part of the conversation is about, right? Protecting black women, but not protecting black women in a way where we have to proclaim they're inferior.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because in the same, we all need protection too.
Yeah.
Like same way you said, my wife is the same way. Somebody rolled up on me the wrong way, and then that person is a woman, I don't have to say anything.
Nada.
My wife
Nada.
Is born that.
Yeah.
And I don't feel less of a man because she gonna handle that.
I'm just like, gonna sit back and sip my drink.
Yeah, just like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, and things like that happen sometimes where we'll be with the kids, a woman will come over and they'll be super excited. Oh my God, Zach, can I get pictures and phones out? And then I don't wanna be the one to be like, can't take pictures of my kids. So the dean from New York will be like, excuse me, miss. Calm down. You can take a picture of my husband, but my kids are not taking pictures.
Facts.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get upset. Oh, you think you better? And then I'm like, all right, baby, we're not doing this.
No, nope.
Mm-mm. And then that's when kid hit me with the puller arm away. Let me tell you something. Like, ah, man, why are we here? Why are we here? But she gonna do that, protect me and protect the kids. So protection don't go both just one way.
I agree. Well, yeah, it don't. Ways. Even for, you know, Carisha, you know, we know we so close that we don't always like show affection or say how we feel. So she had hit me with the I love you text.
Like, you love me. Like,
I was like, I'm like, what? And you know what I'm saying? But you know, she go to bat for me the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Anybody play with me, she like, who, what? Like, hold on.
That's what's up.
So, you know what I'm saying? I like that protection, you know what I'm saying? Goes both ways. Yeah, you know, I don't think that it's making a woman feel, you know what I'm saying,
inferior.
Inferior.
So I want to pose a question. How do you feel like as black men, straight black men, how can we better show up for you in the community when it comes to issues like
that? Understanding. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that so much. Understanding. I feel like a lot of, I was just having a conversation with Young Jock because he had got a little backlash for saying that he wouldn't perform at a gay show for $250,000 or something. I guess he was on some type of interview and they had one scenario. And I respect his decision because you're kind of wary. We're kind of wary to stuff that we don't understand.
Absolutely.
Or that we don't know. So I respect you. Like, I just don't know, you know what I'm saying, what would happen. I don't know how it would turn out, but my thing to him was, okay, so tell me why. So that
you won't understand it.
So yeah, tell me why so that it be in my community, I could tell you, you know what I'm saying? I could get week, I could give you a better understanding.
Yeah.
I could give you knowledge to it. And you will have some black men that just don't, I don't even wanna, like, I don't wanna know. Hmm. And I'm like, okay, so you just wanna be ignorant and walk around with your face balled up or act like something's gonna happen to you or somebody gonna do something weird, you know, to you. I even, cause see, I feel like sometimes I have a little patience because I grew up hood. I did a lot of things.
He's
trying to figure it out. Like, I grew up in the streets, and you know what I'm saying, I did stuff that people be like, "Word, Tina?" I'm like, "Yeah, I was really in the field."
I can't wait for that book.
I had to gain my respect, or I bonded with certain men off of. They had to be around me
to see
and just
that.
See how I maneuvered or, you know what I'm saying? And so they didn't ask for understanding, but because we was in the same area, we was in the same circle,
they
got to know it. And so I just feel like, you know what I'm saying, as just black men, you don't have to be like, I ain't. Just be like, we are people, you know what I'm saying? And you'll be surprised. My producer I work with, shout out to Trey Trax, that's my brother, like we like this. When I first started rapping, it was so hard for my team to find engineers for me or producers. They was like, I'm not going in the room with him, like just me and him, like trying to make it, like, you know what I'm saying? He was like, I take a stab at it, like, what? Like, what? He do music, like, I make beats, I produce, I could be an engineer, like, we gonna get in the room. And I changed his life.
As I
was changing minds. He was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was still like, you know, just kind of trying to figure it out. And once we started working together, my song, our songs just start kept hitting. Mm-hmm. Now we shows, we on tours, yeah. we on the road, mm-hmm. like I bag up and he like, dang, like, and we used to kind of laugh at, now I had other men coming out like, oh bro, let's work. Oh bro, let's, I'm like, yeah, where y'all was though? Mm-hmm. Where, where mm-hmm. I was at.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what I'm saying? I always appreciate him for that because he like, dang, like, I was just, you know, I'm like, I just respected you as an artist and just respected you as a person. And I wasn't being judgmental, just like on right. some less work. And we done made a lot of money off yes, of sir. Music and just,
but
you know
I will
what
say
saying?
This, though, Saucy, having that conversation on takes maturity from both parties.
Yep.
That's not an easy conversation.
Yes, I agree with
especially
that.
Especially in this day and age because Brian asked the question, how can we as heterosexual men show up? Mm-hmm. It is also difficult for us to ask questions because, to be honest, you don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
In this day and age, if you say the wrong thing, even if the question you asked seems ignorant, mm-hmm. you can be labeled as homophobic and it's a wrap.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, and I'm just being honest, this is a safe space.
Yeah,
a lot
of
times having that conversation, it's like, you know what? I don't want to engage because I don't want to, and I'm not speaking about me personally,
yeah,
because
yeah,
I know
yes.
this, but I've spoken to my friends who, because I'm in the industry now. They'll ask you, is so-and-so going to be there? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh. Mm. I'm like, dude, why don't yeah. you just, and he'd be like, because I'm afraid if I say something, he's going to get upset. And you know me, D, I'm not good with my words like you. So I don't know what to say or I don't know how to ask questions. And I'm like, it takes maturity, but that's part of growth.
Maturity is a very, very big part of it. But the other part that I feel like a lot of people kind of fall to the wayside or lack is grace.
Mm. Oh, grace. Yeah, grace is a big one. Grace
there's a lot of people, you know, just understanding the naivete of someone who just doesn't know, you know,
right. yeah.
somebody who doesn't have all of the information, being able to be like,
yeah,
all right, you know what? You just don't know.
Yeah.
I get you.
Yeah.
Let's get you on board. I feel like, and it's
a lot. Nah, you make a good point.
But it's both parts.
That's because, And the reason why it's a good point is because grace isn't given on social media.
Nope.
That's
no,
why
it's not.
These conversations can't be had on a public forum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These conversations have to be had in private amongst people who are willing to give each other grace and in alignment
yeah.
on that.
I hold, you know what I'm saying, my community accountable sometimes because sometimes as gays, we are a little defensive or quick to cancel because we're so used to being the lesser.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. In the power dynamic,
you know
in the power dynamic, yeah.
You gay, so you less of a man. You gay,
right.
so you soft. You gay, so, you know what I'm saying, shut up. You don't count. Your opinion don't matter. Or, you know what I'm saying, even in the girl world, you gay,
same thing
so,
as a woman, yeah. Same
yeah,
thing
even like, you know, but us in the girl world, like when I became a rapper and I was the one singing the songs and was in yeah. the forefront, like us as gays, a lot of times we the makeup artists, the hairstylists, mm-hmm. the wardrobe stylists,
you
behind
mean.
The scenes.
I see what you mean.
So we're never like the one that's in the forefront.
You're not the star.
Yeah. Or,
you're the gay best friend.
Yeah, you're never the star of the situation or
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? We never kind of get our flowers of the influence. Mm-hmm. I laugh because I remember, I didn't forget my daddy had said something, but even just you earlier, you was like, it's giving. That's mm-hmm. gay lingo.
Yeah, that is gay lingo.
And people don't even know that.
Yeah.
What's tea? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of stuff, I remember high school, skinny jeans was gay.
We laughing now, but growing up in Brooklyn in the 90s,
skinny jeans
you never told me I would ever wear a pair of jeans that was squat to the ankle, bro.
Even the shorts above the knee.
That wasn't happening
now. Anymore.
The hoochie daddy shorts.
Hey, listen.
I wear them joints faithfully the summertime. And I work out. Let's go. You gotta get a heel. I'm like, our influence is like, you know what I'm saying, crazy. Like
yeah.
even
yeah.
now you got girl rappers like
yeah.
50-inch weave, 40-inch
yeah.
weave. That
yeah.
was like kind of came from, you know, the drag
world
because
yeah.
it's extra. Women
yeah.
are just natural.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So I'm like,
extra.
You know, sometimes as gays, we can be kind of defensive, like, oh, we can cancel somebody. We better get them up out of here because we'll never, you know what I'm saying? We'll never
yeah.
get our chance to, You know what I'm saying? So sometimes us as gays do try to abuse the authority a little bit. But it's not coming from a place of
I get it.
Malice. Yeah. Malice.
No, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I agree that it's definitely have to be maturity on both sides.
Well, any facts. Group that's been oppressed, black people do it all the time.
Yep.
Women do it. Like when you've been oppressed, the minute someone tries to talk to you about your oppression, you get defensive. Mm-hmm. Like that, as a black man, heterosexual, that's the same way.
Yeah.
Someone try to talk to me about me being a black man, the first thing I'm trying to do is going to defend like, my blackness and my maleness. So it's understandable, but that's the maturity. You know what I'm saying? We all like that. We all like that.
Nah, for sure. And I want to touch on that. So like, you know, we all like, I've lived in New York for 4 years. You guys are from New York. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, one thing for straight black men, you know, we want to defend our
masculinity.
Our masculinity, right? Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you know, one thing we say a lot of time is if we say something that feel like might be dancing on the line, we be like, oh, my bad, pause. So I want to like know, how do you feel about that? Do you ever get offended when you hear guys say
nah, because you got to think, you know, I'm still a boy. Like, I grew up around that. I grew up around, like, I remember it was so funny because just being in school and stuff, like, I played sports. I hung with the guys, like, and it used to be, like, you know, kind of funny to me, like, when we're playing football, I'm like, I'm about to tackle him real hard. Watch this. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, us being gay, you still got, like, a little point to prove, too. Like, ooh, what's up? So, we grew up around that pause, no homo. Like, even me and my brother, Trey, we play around. Like, I said some people like, hey, yo. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, nah, that's not offensive to me.
Okay.
The way I've heard it explained to me is kind of like a that's what she said.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it too, I don't just say pause to dudes. My wife say something that like she was just like, man, I got to swallow this. I'm going to be like, yo, pause that.
Hey,
like,
yo.
Hey, yo.
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 You know what I'm saying? So it's more like a that's what she said.
Yeah.
Because anything that's hypersexual, if a man say it or a woman say it now, everybody's like, yo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but it did start with no homo.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
No homo was definitely, that was offensive.
We were actually talking about this on a podcast and somebody brought up, I forget, I think it was maybe Mouse or somebody, but he said, I think as we've grown up through it, it has just become a better way to just to keep your mind engaged. Like, just think about what you're saying. Constantly just think about what you're saying.
It is fun, though.
So, I mean, it's jokes and all of that stuff, jokes, but it's constantly just keeping you on your toes to be on something like, yo, think about what you're saying.
Yeah.
Think about how you're saying it, because there's always another way to say it.
Right. Yeah.
So, as soon as you say something that's just like you said, be like, dang, man.
Like, dang.
Oh, yo, let me get that hot dog right. Bro, what?
You want to
dress it up and take it on a date, bro? What's up?
Pause.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah.
Nah, man, that's real, man. I'm glad we're able to have that conversation, man. I appreciate you for being
here. I appreciate y'all for just even, you know what I'm saying, this space and just showing people that, because a lot of people just be acting weird or just weird. I'm like,
because they just don't
people.
They don't know. And if you go based on social media, the loud minority, they love the dynamic of people not liking each other.
Yeah.
You know, you put a straight man and a gay man in a room, they're going to fight. A black man and a white man, they're going to fight. A man and a woman, they're going to fight. You know what I'm saying? It's like people love that, especially on social media, because the division creates the engagement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the engagement creates the dollars. So the more division you can create amongst people,
the more
money you can make. That's just the American way.
Drama.
It's American culture. You know what I'm saying? So
it's true, man. Like I said, man, this is for the fellas, bro. I want you to know, bro, you're one of the fellas. Everybody here is welcome for the fellas, man. I want to dap you up, bro. You're one of the guys, bro. It's always love. You know what I mean? You're one of the gang. It's always love over here, bro. For real.
If I get some ice too.
I did. You guys, I want to come to you guys first. Mac, I'll start with you.
Okay.
Just speak about, you know, I feel like you guys are kind of embodying, like, as a millennial, for me growing up, when I think of, like, an ideal of a family, when I look at how you guys are running your tribes, I love to see it. That's what I aspire to be. Just kind of educate everybody on how you're really building a tribe, and it looks like you're building it off of love and not survival. And I feel like that's something real big in our society, where a lot of black people, we raised out of survival. We weren't really raised out of love. How are you guys kind of doing that? I'll start with you, Mac.
That's a bar right there. Mm-hmm. And I think we could all kind of agree with it to a certain extent, right? Like, you know, growing up in the projects, this, that, and the third, you know, mom's is working as much as she could. Mm-hmm. Dad owns the barbershop, so he's not really home. And it's you kind of It's a really like you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps type vibe. And I remember one thing that my mom always said was that I want to make sure I'm going to work as hard as I have to make sure that you had more than I did. Mm. You know, my mom grew up in foster care. My dad back and forth between Virginia and Queens, this, that, and the third, till they met in Staten Island. But yeah, man, I think it in my head, it's the same exact thing. I wanted to make sure that my daughters have more than I did when I grew up. And I think a big part of that is the abundance of love. Not saying that my parents didn't have it. Not saying that my parents didn't show it or give it, but I think there's a when you are so deeply ingrained in the hustle and bustle of life, trying to make sure that you are trying to survive and live, mm-hmm. that you constantly forget the essentials, which is the love, the hugs. I was just reading something. They said like just to live, just to kind of just get through a day, you should be getting at least like 8 hugs a day. And that's like it. I remember reading that and being like, how many hugs? I remember growing up and maybe getting one. Like my mom's always, I'm like, all right, cool. Go ahead. Go to one, go to school.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But like 8 hugs are essential just for living. And for growing, it's like 12 or something like that. So it's the little things now. Like making sure that we have enough that we don't have to worry about survival. That now we can actually get into the little things, like the actual, you know, the fine details of love, of raising and growing properly.
That's powerful because I think that we know, we, like you said, growing up, you probably get a hug a day, like on the way to go
if
to
that,
school.
Yeah. Right?
So me just being grown up, I'm like, I don't even like hugs. I'm like, maybe that come from, you know, saying growing up, like, you don't got to hug that much. It's just like, go ahead with all that. Like, I don't know. So that just made sense to me.
Now, I got 4 sons. Every day, the first thing I do when I see them, I say, you hug your pop? Did you tell me you love me today? Mm-hmm. Did I tell you I love you today? And they'll smile and they'll be like, no. And I'm like, come here. And I'll like hug him and kiss him. And I like punch him in the stomach and like push him on the floor. Because it got to be balanced.
Of course. Duality.
It has to be a duality. You know? Got to be love, but tough. But it's also getting rid of the scarcity mentality, right? I grew up a privileged young black child. I grew up in an apartment, then we moved to a private house. I grew up with both my parents, or both my parents worked. But I was a latchkey kid. Latchkey kid, like, you know, both my parents work. I don't see them till 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
I get out at 3 o'clock. So for those 4 hours, when my parents was like, you better be inside, I was outside. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And when you outside, you start to realize how many people around you have a scarcity mentality. Whereas if there's something there, one of us got to take it. Because if we don't have it, someone else is getting it.
Yeah.
And I grew up like that, even though I grew up privileged. But now that I have children, I'm like, no more the scarcity mentality. Mm. No more wondering, like, for example, and I don't know who else grew up like this. I used to get $2.50 a day for lunch, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was privileged where I grew up. Because some of my friends, you eat school lunch, you rob somebody, or you know what I'm saying? Or you take food from the corner store. But I grew up with $2.50 every day. So for me, that $2.50 was mine. That was mine. Like, I'm a, you know, I didn't always eat with it. I would say $2.50 every day for 5 days. It's $12.50 at the end of the week. I can get me 2 shirts for $10 at Ragamuffin.
Yeah.
But now I have sons. We're not focused on trying to get something for yourself. Let's focus on the bigger picture. Generally, what do you want to do with your life long term?
Mm-hmm.
These are things I never like really thought about as a child. But as I'm trying to build my village, I want my sons to think past buying a shirt on Friday. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I want them to think bigger so that they can grow everything that we've grown. And that's, like you said, getting rid of that scarcity mentality and moving on thriving, not just surviving.
Nah, preach. I love that, man. I love that. And I feel like I grew up the same way, like out of love. You know, my mom and my dad, they were married. So they went to the traditional family growing up.
Yep.
Right? We lived in the same household. And to go back to another point, I know when I spoke earlier and I felt like I was a failure, right? Because I didn't provide that household because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
My mom and my dad being together. So me not being able to still paint that same picture, you kind of felt like you was failing. But now, like, I feel the same way, even though with my son now, I try to even be more extra sensitive with him now that I know that we're kind of like, we're co-parenting together. Because I don't want to be that hard parent on him.
Yeah.
I don't want him to come around dad and feel like, I feel like I can't be myself. I can't be emotionally myself when I'm around my dad. I don't want to be hard on him. So I tell him every day, like, I love you. God loves you. Your mom loves you. Give him hugs and kisses. Because, you know, they do kind of feel that. And yeah. I think that's essential when
kinda.
You're trying to raise.
There's no kind of. Yeah. No, they do. Remember we talked about divine dichotomy?
Yeah.
Both can be necessary. Can happen, yeah. You can be tough on them because I'm hard on my sons. Mm-hmm. I'm old school. Discipline. Wake up in the morning. Speak to your mom. Make your bed. You're going to eat. You get 15 minutes to eat. You be outside to be at school on time. I'm that type of dad. And I'm going to be honest, the way I really am with my kids, I can't be on social media. Because everything is not for public consumption.
That is a fact.
I'm being honest, right? What I give people, I give them what I think they can handle. People would never, ever in a million years applaud if they really knew how I was with my sons. Because what my sons need, everyone isn't going to be in agreement with. Mm-hmm. We live in Georgia, right? This is still below the Mason-Dixon. It's still a ton of racism.
Yeah.
We're still dealing with people being murdered by cops down here. So there's certain things about being rough and tough to my sons that I'm not ever going to take away. Mm. Like, I'm not one of these millennials that be like, my parents are so hard on me and we got to use trauma. I'm so traumatized. No, I'm not traumatized. I am the way I am and I'm successful because my mother didn't play no games.
Facts.
And my pops... If I thought about raising my voice in my mom, I'm getting punched in the chest, bro. It's yeah, and over. Nowadays, everybody just like, oh, you can't. Nah, those lessons taught me, all right, yes, ma'am. No, yeah. Just respect my mother a certain way. And I raise my sons the same way.
Yeah.
No, I don't beat on my sons, right? You know, you got to say that disclaimer.
Right,
I do not
guys.
Beat my sons. But the way I raise them on social media is probably 5% of what I do at home.
Saucy, man, I'm interested, man. Do you want kids?
I think when I get a little older,
okay,
probably like another 10 years,
okay,
15.
Okay.
I'm not ready for no kids right now, but
15 years, bro. That's a long time, brother.
So five running around babies Bob's.
With a 1-2 year old.
My mama did it.
Okay,
she shocked the hell out of us. I'm like, whoa, you pregnant? Like what?
Wow.
But I just think I want to. I'm too dope not to have a little, you know,
a little
behind. I think for me, just being honest, I'm just worried about how to raise a kid.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a common fear.
How to raise a kid and just me being gay, and I feel like if I have a son, I would want my son to be gay. And not because nothing is wrong with it, but because of everything that I went through.
Being
a gay boy, growing up a gay boy, all of the stuff behind the scenes that you go through, growing up, going to school, just living in the world. I'm just like, I mean, of course, if he got my genes, he probably could take it. But it's just, you know, you don't want to. That's just like if you grew up in the projects, and when you get your kids, you don't want your kids to have to grow up in the projects. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, you know, I'm like, dang, am I ready for that? So I have godchildren, and I'm a very active godfather. It'd be so funny. I'd be like, it's school time.
Can I ask a question though?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that may be a little bit of self-hate that you wouldn't want your son to be a reflection of who you are? Like, I understand the trauma you probably had to go to, but do you kind of feel like
I don't ever look at it as self-hate because I love myself more than anybody. I think that it's just not easy. So that's why I kind of equated it to like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all like, hey, I grew up in the projects. I don't want my child to, you know, I just feel like I want better. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even know if better is the right word, because not saying to me nothing is wrong with being gay, but just
like the world to treat gay people better.
Yeah.
And you can't control that.
And you can't control that.
I get it.
And so for me, I have all goddaughters and they love their goddaddy. And you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and for it's easier for me to play dressed up or with them, or it's easier for me to, I got a Chanel purse, here go, you won. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's easier for me. So I think sometimes I just kind of think like, Because it's no way that you could make a gender of a baby, right? You just have, you, it just goes, you got to go with the flow of it.
In
like,
this day and age, I don't even know.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, and everything is kind of so calculated, but I'm like, now, I can't with, just say, oh, I want to have.
AI, you know. AI, you can know.
It's so crazy.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
I mean, you got blue eyes and blonde hair. What the
Yeah, so I'm just like, you know, I just want to, you know, be ready for that. And, you know, by me not, you know, having a girl or having a girlfriend or being with a woman, like, you know, I'm young and turnt out here. So
I'm going to tell you this, though. I'm going to tell you this. Mac will probably agree with me. You could be 45, you could be 55, 65. The minute that child come in the world, you're going to be scared as hell.
Yeah.
Because I remember when Jackson first, I had to put Jackson in the car seat. I checked the car seat about 30 times. Okay. And I'm your seatbelt, I'm moving it. And then it hit me once I got him in the car seat.
Nah, you get him in the car seat and then you shake it like.
You know.
You got to make sure.
But this is the moment that hits you. You like, so it's me and you. You look at your wife. Mm-hmm. I was 26, she was 26. And I'm like, we got to take care of that human.
In the back.
By ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, your mom ain't coming with us. My mom ain't. Like, that shit's scary, bro.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I got a two-year-old now. She just born. I remember when he came, I was like, fourth one. I should at this point know exactly yeah. what nah. to do. But you still, the minute they come out, you like, please don't.
Yo. Yeah.
Like, please.
So, and see, that's how I feel like, you know, with y'all having women and stuff, I feel like that's a part of you grow up, that's a part of life growing up, like having a family. You know what I'm saying? Being a gay boy, I'm not thinking of, oh, I'm gonna get with a man, we're gonna get married and have kids. That's not my thoughts. So it's like I wasn't really bracing. I feel like with men, like, you know, you're gonna, you know what I'm saying? You know, eventually you're going to get a girlfriend, you have a baby.
Yeah.
That's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not my reality. Yeah. So it's just like, you know, I feel like that's why I cling so close to my God kids, because they give me like that little taste of that it. Like, of it. You know what I'm saying? It's so crazy. Like you said, I remember when I first used to watch my goddaughter when she was like a baby. I'm like, okay, whoo. Yo. I'm like,
I know.
Y'all mama finna leave, and it's really me and you. Me and you. Here, yo. And you're a baby, and I have to make sure you don't drink bleach or you don't get into something.
My mom, I
love it, though, because it's like now I be reminding myself, like, oh, it's school time. It's Christmas time. Hey, what that progress report looking like? Uh-huh. And she be like, you're supposed to be the cool one. Like, you're supposed to be the god daddy.
Exactly. That's why I'm doing this.
Talking about what's my grades, and I'm like, no iPhone. If we got C's on that report card.
Come on now.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, hold them accountable. You know, I'm getting there.
All right, man, so let's have some fun, man. Let's switch up the pace. We're going to go around the room. Each one of us is going to pull a card, and I want everybody to give reactions, okay? Go ahead and pull a card. Let's see what we got.
Ooh. What's your one wish for the holidays? I already got one of them wishes. Go ahead. What's your wish? Man, send me a new...
With them ranks.
I knew that's where you was going. Soft life, you want to be soft life? Soft life.
I love that for you, man.
I love that for me too.
It'll be Naima's first like real Christmas, right? It's Naima's like first real. I guess like the first one that she could kind of rip paper off. I just pray that we don't lose our daughter in the boxes. I don't know if you guys don't have kids yet, but like kids are addicted not to the toys, but to the box.
And the wrappers.
Yeah. And the wrappers. Yeah, there's usually a lot. I remember we lost Tristan in the first Christmas. So praying that we just don't lose Naima. You know, we just gotta make sure we keep an eye on her.
Saucy, let's pull a card, man. See what you got. Oh, Lord. Oh, I got a feeling he about to pull something out the hat.
Let me see.
Okay. It say, where will you be for the holidays?
Oh, come on now.
Where I'm going to be? I think I might be here in Atlanta. I'll be in a strip club somewhere paying bills.
Not on Christmas.
Paying bills. On Christmas night, come get your rent paid, baby girl.
Saucy wild.
Hey man, never change. Never change, man.
She gonna get a strip club.
Yo, where you gonna be at the bar?
Which holiday? Christmas?
Yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
Y'all gonna be with the kids.
I'll be in the kids, but we'll be in Jamaica.
Ooh. Oh, that's me.
We'll be in Jamaica.
What
know?
Part of Jamaica?
Shoot, wifey hasn't planned yet, but probably Ocho Rios. Probably Ocho Rios.
Love that.
Matt, we'll get
away. Nice. We'll probably be around family, honestly. We'll probably be either in DC or in New York. Mm. We kind of interchange every, I forget whose turn it is, but we interchange every year just to figure out whose family we're going to be around. But yeah, it's probably going to be about family and, you know, just kicking it, taking the time to kick it until next year when we get right back to work.
Facts. Facts.
Yeah, I love that, man. You got the last call. Let's see what you got.
Oh, Lord. Let me see. What we got? Okay, is there a limit you will spend on your partner or your kids for the holiday?
A limit to spend.
Nah. A limit. Hey, sit down. Ooh. Sit down. Sit down.
Why? Are you looking to see what you're going to say?
Don't embarrass.
So this is the tricky part, right? For me, personally, this is the tricky part. Because the end of the year, literally, right in a week and a half. Mm-hmm. From then on, it's birthdays, anniversaries, and Christmas. My first daughter's birthday is December 11th. Second daughter's birthday is November 21st. Mm-hmm. Then our anniversary is on the 17th of December. Then it's Christmas. My pockets is hurt. So we have a system now. So we make sure that the girls have a great birthday. We'll probably do a party or something for them. You know, Christmas, we limit it to a certain amount of gifts because birthday is right there. But usually around this time, we like to try to go on an excursion. Like, we like to make it an experience versus gifts. So
That's important in life.
Yeah, I don't personally believe that there should be, I mean, I think my financial advisor would think differently, but I don't think that there should be a price on an experience. So I think that's where the no limit would be. But when it comes to gifts, I try to make sure that it's very thoughtful. I try to make sure that I'm hitting either your heart, your mind, your body, your flesh, like something that you really want. And just keep it real simple. Keep it simple.
I love that. Saucy, how you feel about that, man?
I don't think that it's a limit for your partner for the kids on Christmas. I know for my partner wise, I turn my petty on a little bit. So I'm going to pick your brain to see. I'm going to pick your brain to see, you know what I'm saying? Was it giving Air Force Ones or was it giving Birkin? So I know how to return the energy. With the kids, I feel like I kind of always try to, and still, you know what I'm saying, just school and kind of just good behavior. You know, I feel like as kids, that was always the pun. Like, I do well at school. I wash the dishes. Yeah. You know, I get rewarded. So I like to keep, you know what I'm saying, my godkids and my little sister and stuff like, hey, you know, Christmas coming up. How we living? What happened? Yeah. We getting cold? What we doing? So, you know what I'm saying? I just, you know, for the kids, I like to, you know, just keep it on based off, you know, just good behavior and just, you know, being respectful. My little sister, you make sure you're respecting my mama. And hey, don't be talking back to your grandma too much, you know, because I know how kids is. Yeah. And to my man, you know, I'm just, you know, picking his brain. Hey.
Where we at?
That's funny, though. That's hilarious. I don't blame you. There's no limit. I spoil my wife, like I said before, my family's my muse. And because my family's my muse, they literally work all day. Because at any point when I want to create content, my wife, you know what I'm saying? My wife on point, my kids is on point. They do well in school. So you know what? Everything we got is ours anyway. What you want? Let's go get it. Plus, I just like the feeling of like saying yes.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Just being able to.
Yes. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
To be in that position.
Yeah, to be in that position.
What you want, baby?
Yeah. You want that?
Yes.
All right, let's go get it.
You know what I'm saying? Let's go get it. The kids, like, not getting rid of that scarcity mindset.
Absolutely.
What do you want for Christmas? Do you deserve it? And if they got, and my kids, one thing I'm hard on them, but All of them 95 plus averages. They all work hard in sports. They do tutoring on their own. They do coding. They do, like, I don't have kids that just do sports. Mm-hmm. They do everything. So when it's holiday time, let me spoil you.
Yeah.
And I'm to be honest, not looking for nothing. Cause you know how it is when you working and you earning whatever I want, I just buy it.
Yeah.
But I just want y'all to just be around me. That's it.
So. That's for real, man. Mm-hmm. I think, like you said, man, it's no limit. It's no limit. I think just do what you can. Live within your means. I feel like a lot of times in Black community, sometimes we feel pressure to do a lot. And it's like, just do what you can.
Absolutely.
As long as you're showing love to your partner, your loved ones, your kids, they're going to feel the love.
Yes.
You know exactly that, too. Do what you can. You know what I'm saying? Stay in your means, especially with this social media, you know, thing. I know I joke about, like, Birkins and stuff, but even just as me having a partner, I'm like, I know, you know, kind of dating a lot of times, I have more than, you know, the other people that I date and stuff. So I don't ever want nobody to feel like, you know what I'm saying, you know, like feeling less than because, you know, like you can't maybe get what I could buy myself. So I definitely agree.
Now, that is important because I remember, too, when I couldn't spoil my wife. Mm-hmm. And she was still there, my wife. Yeah. Yeah. There was Christmases where we agreed we weren't going to get each other gifts because it was going to be about the kids. We're not getting each other nothing, right? So okay, there's was Christmases like that. And you know what happened those Christmases? We loved on each other anyway. We got Jackson, whatever we got. We got our brothers and sisters, but hey, I don't got it. Yeah. You don't got it either? So we don't got it together.
We don't got it together.
You know what I'm saying? And that's that. I'm gonna spoil you by telling you early. Nah. You ain't getting nothing because I don't got it.
Cook, son, eat some quality time or something.
Yes. And the thing is, she was still there when I had nothing, like literally nothing. It was like, babe, I ain't got nothing.
That make you go up though when you got it. That's why you like that. Yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Like I said, man, I love to see that, man. I just love seeing just Black men that's thriving, you know, living in your truth. You know what I'm saying? You guys look well. The jewelry looks well. Everything looks well.
Let me tuck mine.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's good. It looks amazing on you. You know what I'm saying? Y'all could have been fighting back, standing on business, talking about the heavy ass shoes. You been standing on business, man. So nah. On behalf of BET and VH1, man, just appreciate you guys taking the time to be with us, man. Like I said, Butterfellas, man, it's a place for all of us, man. I'm glad we were able to sit here and have a conversation about everything, man.
I just want
to
say I appreciate this as well, you know, for Black men, different walks of life, living different lives, we're able to sit down and have conversations, be honest with each other, and feel safe.
This like, that's about.
That's
this
fire.
About.
You know what I'm saying? That's fire.
No, absolutely, man. I totally agree with you, man. And I look forward to having more conversations like this. I think this is a safe space that we need to continue. This is something rare that you don't get to see often.
Facts.
So, you know
what
I'm saying? Absolutely. Really, really appreciate all you guys for traveling, taking the time to be down here. From BET and VH1, we can't thank you guys enough.
Of course.
Absolutely. Our pleasure, man.
Of course.
Absolutely.
What's up, young Ellis? This is more mature Elder Ellis, also known as DeVal. You know this because you're me. But I'm just here to tell you, listen, what you do in your 20s will not define you. So don't be afraid to try and fail as many times as you can to reach your goal. I love you, little Ellis. Be great.
Stay true. Stay authentic. Greater is coming. People, I've always had influence. I've always been influential. I've always had an impact in any room that I was in. And it's gonna take you far. And you're gonna make a lot of money off it. Period.
To young Tristan, young Mac, Lil P, as they call you, because you're dad. I know at this age right now, whatever age you're at, I know it's probably like, or 13 or something like that, you don't feel as strong in the world. You know, you're looking at your heroes that are always doing magnificent feats. They show their strength in so many different ways. But I want you to understand that strength is only built through the things that you live through. And you are going to live through a lot. You are going to go through a lot. And I promise you, it'll make you so much stronger by the end of this. Where I am right now, I'm still growing, still building, still getting stronger. So just understand that your strength is on the way.
What's up, y'all? This is DeVal Ellis, and this is for the fellas.
I'm Saucy Santana, and this is for the fellas.
My name is Tristan Mack Wilds, and this is for the fellas.
kind of like Cosby's, bro. Like, you mean you got, you know, not Cosby's, but you kind of just paint like.
I mean, they both from Brooklyn.
You get
the vision. You get the vision.
Huxtables.
There we go. Damn. Let's give it. Shout out to the edit. Hey, listen.
Everybody always tell me that when I'm texting. I be on the phone with my mama. She be like, "Who is you texting?" And it just always sound like I'm doing something so serious, but I don't even be talking about that. But it just sound like.
Nah, it sound like you saying, "As per my last email."
Stop.